Our scripture reading for this morning's lesson is taken from Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. Romans 6 and verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Once again, good morning. We're honored with your presence. So many smiling faces. I can think of no place that I would rather be than here worshiping God this morning. In our afternoon service, when we get to that, we will be looking at Psalm 126, so I hope you will stick around for that one. And on a personal note, before we get into our lesson this morning, if you go back in the history book to the year 2011 on the first Sunday of the month of September, that was the first time I was privileged to stand in this pulpit and preach as I was filling in for you at the time. So it's been fun. Let's keep going. Let's keep being faithful, growing, increasing in wisdom and in knowledge. Our lesson this morning is one I've already preached. Not for you, but a couple of weeks ago when I had the invitation to go out to the Hillsboro Church of Christ in Hillsboro, not Nashville, but Hillsboro itself, their theme for their summer series, their theme for the entire year is the song we just sang, Standing on the Promises of God, and they assigned different teachers or different preachers different topics on different Wednesday nights. And so the topic I had was overcoming the flesh, and I liked the way the outline turned out, so I thought I'd like to present it before you as well. That beautiful hymn, Standing on the Promises of God, was composed by Russell Kelso Carter, lived 1849 to 1928, and he composed this hymn while he was teaching at a military academy. The year was 1886. But the real question becomes, what is a promise? Now, as a side grammar lesson, promise can be both a noun and a verb. If you use it as a noun, it's a declaration, or it's an assurance that you will do a particular thing, or that a particular thing will happen. If you make it a verb, it's to assure someone that you will definitely do, give, or arrange something. You'll undertake, or you declare that it will happen. So God has made us a promise that if we do what he said, we can be with him. He has given us assurance at his word. If we're faithful unto death, then we can live and spend an eternity with him. So to borrow from another song, when we're standing on the promises of God, we're building our hopes on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. And one of the ways to stand on the promises of God, we need to overcome the flesh. And that's what we're going to be examining this morning in three simple points. And I'll go ahead and tell you now, once we get to the second point, we'll give you a long list. And if you don't want to write the whole list down, let me know. It's online, and I'd be glad to print you a copy. Not today, I'm out of ink. But whenever I get more ink for the print, I'd be glad to print you a copy if you need one of those. So first off, to overcome the flesh, we need to grow spiritually in Christ. Number one, to overcome the flesh, we need to grow spiritually in Christ. And before you can grow spiritually in Christ, you need to be in Christ. Join me here in our lesson text of Romans chapter 6. Once again in verse 3, Paul is asking a question, a rhetorical question. He says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into his death. Like as Christ is raised up from the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in that newness of life. So before you can grow spiritually in Christ, you need to be baptized. You need to get into Christ. Just like I got into the suit jacket, I literally put it on. It and I became one. When we get into Christ, Christ and you, Christ and I, we are to be one as well. Couple that with what Paul tells those in Galatia, in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27. So once we get into Christ, we need to be focusing on the meat of the word. Join me in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 2. Once you get into Christ, you start out on milk, but you need to progress to meat. And as we're reading, I've got two verses on this, as we're reading this, think about raising a small child. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 2, Paul says, I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it back then. And now, Paul says, you're still not able to bear it. They started out on the milk of the word. What we often refer to in notes and in writing as the first principles, the foundational teachings. Why do we believe the Bible? Why am I a member of the Church of Christ? Why did Jesus Christ die? What is going to happen when Jesus comes back? What are the five acts of worship? The fundamentals that we learn, and then we progress. By the way, I'd encourage you, we always need to go back to the first principles. We need to keep growing, but you keep going back to that and re-strengthening what you've learned. Our second passage on this is found in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 2. 1 Peter 2 and 2 and 3. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be you've tasted that the Lord is gracious. So how do we overcome the flesh? We need to grow spiritually in Christ. In order to grow physically, we have to eat. And we start on milk, and then we progress. And, you know, I like to eat steak, and I like to eat chicken, I like to eat meat. I'm not really a ham fan, can't do sausage, but I like meat. I grow with meat, but you also need milk. We spiritually start out on the basics, and then we grow. You mature as a Christian, and in that, you're going to start tackling more weightier subjects, and you're going to start doing more in-depth study. Like an in-depth study of the book of 1 and 2 Chronicles will really help you to grow, because that basically sums up most, if not all, the Old Testament. And it's not an easy study, but it's worth it. So you start out on that milk. Then you progress. And lastly, as we're talking about growing in Christ, you need to climb what I call the Christian ladder. Climb that Christian ladder. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 5. Just a few pages over. 2 Peter 1, starting in verse 5, Peter says, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, temperance patience, patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness charity. If these things be in you, and if they abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Pausing there, notice what he says in verse 5. Giving all diligence. Makes me think of what Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. He would be diligently applying the word of God. Here Peter says you need to have diligence, add to your faith. He doesn't say get faith. He's talking to people who already have faith. He says add to your faith virtue, virtue knowledge. And he goes down this list that you'll neither be barren nor unfruitful. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, you shall know them by their fruit. But here Peter says you don't have to be unfruitful. If you climb this ladder, do you think each one of these virtues is a ladder and it gets you up to the next floor, gets you to where you're going? But look in verse 9. But he that lacks these things is blind, or you might say is nearsighted, is short-sighted. I'm nearsighted. Without my glasses, I can't see the back door, and I definitely couldn't see if you held up your book. I need glasses to see. Peter says if you are lacking these things, then you can't see afar off. And he's forgotten, he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give, watch that word, diligence. He's already said that once. To make your calling and election sure, if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so in entrance we ministered unto you abundantly in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You get into Christ. You move on from milk and you climb that Christian ladder. Because he says, if you do it to the end, if you give all diligence, then an entrance into heaven will be given to you if you're faithful in this to the end. So first and foremost, how do we overcome the flesh? You've got to grow spiritually in Christ. Secondly, this morning, you need to know what the works of the flesh are. You need to know what the works of the flesh are. If you know me, you know I like a good list. In fact, when I'm preaching, I just preach from an outline. I don't write out every word I'm going to say. I've never been that kind of guy. At home, I have a to-do list for this and a list of things I need to get done at work. I like lists. And I like the Apostle Paul because the Apostle Paul liked lists too. A couple of passages, we're just going to rapid fire flip through these. And then we're going to examine the contents. And we're going to go in biblical order. And so go with me to Romans chapter 1, verses 29-32. We're going to look at some lists that Paul gave of some sins. Romans 1, 29. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, hateful of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable or implacable, unmerciful, with who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are not, they are worthy of death, not only to the same, but they have pleasure in them. Well, that's bad. Hold on to that thought. Let's now go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. And we will actually circle back around to this one. But 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. Paul in his rhetorical questions, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. All right, Paul, that's a pretty bad list. Let's keep going on to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 20. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 20. Paul says, "For I fear lest when I come, I should not find you such as I would, and that I shall be found unto you such as ye would not, lest there be debates, and envyings, and wraths, and strifes, backbitings, whisperings, swellings, and tumults." All right, Paul, that's another bad list. Yeah, Paul's not done. Now let's go to Galatians. We'll just keep flipping through the Pauline letters. Galatians chapter 5, 19 through 21. And if you're like me, when I was given this topic, maybe when you saw the sign on the board, this may be where your mind went. My mind first went to Galatians 5 when he said overcoming the flesh, because this is Paul's list of the works of the flesh. Let's see what they are. Galatians 5, 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Boy, Paul, that's a pretty bad list. He said, yeah, flip over to Ephesians. I've got another one for you. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. Ephesians 5, 3 through 5. But fornication and uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather the giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor a covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. And Paul says, yeah, I've got one more list for you. And this one is found in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 through 11. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 through 11. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. Knowing this, the law is not made for righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for holy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers and manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers and liars, for perjured persons, if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Paul has given us six lists. By the way, there are others. And Peter gives us lists, but I didn't want to spend the entire day reading these lists of sins, to be honest. But what I did notice, and it took me probably an hour, was I went through and I wrote down every sin And then I made a list of what they were. And then for your convenience, I alphabetized the list of sins for you. And between these six passages, Paul gives 57 different sins. Now, all sin is transgressing, missing the mark. I want us to note some of these, if we can. Paul talks about abusers of themselves with mankind. These would be the sodomites. These are homosexuals. I'm pointing this one out because in the first century world, that was a problem. And in the first century world, even in the Old Testament, God said, I don't approve of that. Don't do that. And guess what's happening in the world today? People are abusing themselves with mankind. And as a logically thinking person, which I like to think I am, I don't understand the fun in that. Homosexual relationships, but I don't do it. Don't do it. He talks about adulterers, all uncleanness, all unrighteousness. He talks about backbiters. Those are people who slander. Here's your journalism lesson for the day. Slander and libel are the same thing. Slander is spoken, libel is written. Slander, S, spoken, S. That's how you remember it. So here, backbiters are ones that slander, ones that speak ill of somebody with the intent to wound. He talks about boasters. He talks about covenant breakers. He talks about those that are covetous or a covetous man. Those that debate, that's someone who is just looking for a fight. They want to quarrel. He talks about deceit. Those that defile themselves with mankind, that's akin to homosexuality. Despiteful, those that are disobedient and disobedient to parents. I group those together. Those that are drunks or drunkards, God says don't do it. And then we get to that word, effeminate. I want to make note of that one. Effeminate. E-F-F-E-M-I-N-A-T-E. Your root word for this is female. Literally in Greek, it means soft. And it's translated to soft three times in the New Testament, in the King James. And in those times there, it's always referring to a piece of clothing that is soft. But brethren, here's the problem we're having, and this is akin to cross-dressing. It is a man who tries to take on the persona, the actions, the appearance of a female. Effeminate. A female. God made us male. God made us female. And everybody's what they're supposed to be because that's how God wanted it to be. Not changing it because they think they know better. That was a sin then. It's a sin now. The next one alphabetically is emulations. This means rivalry, this means jealousy, and it's found twice in the New Testament. What I find interesting about the word emulations, one time it's good and one time it's bad in the New Testament. The good time is in Romans 11 and verse 14 because Paul, in essence, says, I want to provoke the Jews to jealousy that they may repent. They may turn from their wicked ways. So Paul's using it in a good aspect there and a bad aspect in Galatians 5 and 20. Because he's talking about stirring up of jealousy in others. You shouldn't be trying to make others feel jealous for one reason or another. He talks about envying, talks about extortioners, those are swindlers, robbers, unrighteous, lewd, filthiness, those that are talking foolishly, fornication, fornicators. We've already talked about adultery. Adultery happens in the marriage. Fornication is outside of marriage, but both of them are a sin. They're full of envy, those that hate God, heresies, idolatry, inventors of evil things, jesting. And here's one for notes, lasciviousness. Lasciviousness. I have heard my wife's grandfather, Jim Boyd, preach an entire sermon, if not two, on the sin of lasciviousness. What is that? Lasciviousness is unbridled lust. It means to raise a disturbance. And in 1 Corinthians 12, 21, it says it is something to be repented of. Now, it's also translated in the Bible as wantonness. You may have seen that in Romans 13, 13, for instance. These are filthy words. But watch this, brethren, and I say this in love. But it's a problem of the world. Lasciviousness is also unchaste movements of the body. That means it's dancing. And God says that's a sin. And people say, oh, but it's graceful. Who cares if it's graceful? If God said it's a sin, it's a sin. To borrow a line from Jim Boyd, I'd rather somebody walk like a cow into heaven than dance gracefully into hell. God doesn't play around. Paul doesn't play around because he's inspired. Let's keep going. Lawless, liars, malicious, malignity, menslayers, menstealers, murderers, slash murderers of fathers, slash murderers of mothers, perjured persons, that's one that swears falsely under oath, profane, proud, revelers, sedition, sinners, strife, swellings, thieves, tumults, unclean, unholy, ungodly, unmerciful, variants, whispers, whispering, that's trying to slander. You're sitting around talking to somebody saying, can you believe what they've done? Can you believe what they've done? And you're off with no truth. Whoremongers, whores as we call them today, wickedness, witchcraft, without natural affection, without understanding, and wrath. God doesn't play around. Notice what he says in Galatians 5:21, they which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And when John gives us a list in Revelation 21 and verse 8, and it's an awful list of sins, he couples that with "and all liars." All these lists, they're not exclusive, they're not exhaustive. They give you a few of them and then they say, "and everything else like this." So then our question this morning, our third point, maybe most important, how do we overcome? Now we know what the works of the flesh are. How do we overcome the flesh? Go back in your mind or flip back there to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, as we've already looked at it in verse 11. Because Paul, when he writes to them, after he gives this long laundry list of sins in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 11, he says, "And such were some of you." Were is past tense. I have that underlined. I would encourage you to do that as well. "And such were some of you, but you're washed." Ah, they've obeyed the gospel. You're washed, sanctified, and they're justified in Christ. That's how you overcome. You get in Christ, or you get back to Christ. How else do you overcome? You cultivate good fruits. Go with me to Galatians chapter 5. I feel that we would do it a disjustice, a disservice, a dishonor, if we are right at the fruit of the Spirit and we don't talk about the fruit of the Spirit. Because Galatians 5, 19 through 21, works of the flesh, 22, 23, fruit of the Spirit. You need to cultivate good fruits. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." Brethren, we need to continually be cultivating this good fruit. You don't go out and plant a seed once and hope they produce what you want. But you go out there and what? You water it. And you go back the next day. You do what? You water it. And it starts to grow up. Or it starts to sprout. You do what? You water it. And then guess what? Weeds come out. So what do? You pull the weeds out. You prune it. You make sure what you've planted produces the crop you want. We as Christians need to keep cultivating good fruit. When Paul writes in Romans 12 and verse 21, he says, "Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." Now here's the interesting thing about that. It's our choice. You can either look at the world as full of wickedness, and boy it is. Or you can look at the world as good. You can look at it as good. You have the choice how you view things. You can either dwell on the positive or dwell on the negative. And sadly, I know people who like to do both. I wish I just knew people who like to dwell on the positive, but I know people where I feel like at the moment they open their eyes, they just try to think what's the worst thing going on in their life, and they'll dwell on that all day long. And they'll miss all the other blessings. And the last thing you need to do is have good roots. R-O-O-T-S, have good roots. Mark chapter 4, time does not allow us to look at the first 20 verses, but that's the parable of the sower. For he sows on good, stony, rocky, thorny ground. The good ground produced. Why? Because it had good roots. It produced. Galatians 1, 6 through 9, Paul marvels at the fact that they've so soon turned away from the gospel. Because people have come in after Paul and they were teaching that Paul wasn't true. So how do we overcome? Well, we're washed, sanctified, justified through Christ. We cultivate good fruits. We focus on good. We make a conscious effort. And we need to be firmly planted. Now, as a way of extending the invitation, I want to share with you very briefly an old Cherokee story. And I've shared it in time past and I've liked it, so I share it again. It's called The Two Wolves. There's an old Cherokee grandfather who's teaching his grandson about life. And the grandfather says that there is a fight that's going on inside of me, he says to the boy. And he says, it's a terrible fight between two wolves. One wolf is evil. He is anger, envy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, guilt, self-pity, resentment, inferiority, lies, false pride, superiority, and ego. And he continued, but the other wolf is good. He is joy. He is peace. He's love. He's hope. He's serenity. He's humility. He's kindness. He's benevolence. He's empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith. He leaned over and poked his grandson on the chest, and he said, and this same fight's going inside of you, and it's going on inside of every other person, too. And the grandson standing there looking at his grandfather, and he thinks for a minute, and he says to his grandfather, he says, Grandpa, which wolf wins? And the grandfather says, it's the one you feed. It's the one you feed. So the choice is ours. Which one are we going to feed? Are we going to be feeding the bad wolf, which can represent the works of the flesh? Or are we going to be feeding the good wolf, which represents the fruit of the Spirit, which represents God's way? This sermon's not meant to be harsh. In fact, it's been preached in love. But maybe you've been involved in some of those sins that Paul listed that are found elsewhere in the Bible. Brethren, you need to make your life right if you want to live with God for eternity. Maybe you say, I haven't done that. Where do I start? Go back to point one. You need to get into Christ. Do that through baptism. But you don't just go dunk yourself. You hear. You believe it's true. You repent of your sins. That's a change in thought results in a change in action. You confess publicly before a group such as this. I believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. I'm not afraid to say it. And upon that confession, then you're baptized. You go in that watered grave, come out a new creature. You are alive in Christ. If you have not done that this morning, please, can we plead with you, beg with you, why not obey the gospel? If you have, keep going. There's that promise I mentioned at the introduction of Jesus. Be faithful in death to receive that crown of life if you're not faithful. If sin is into your life, maybe you could be among that list of 57 plus things. Be like those in Corinth. Repent. Come back to God. We have an opportunity. The Lord's invitation is extended. If we can help you in any way, please let it be known while we stand and while we sing.